T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you are on board on this Wednesday. I'm Bill Michaels, across from me, Radio Joe. Producing the show as always. Last night, really, at least in our corner of the world, but nationally it's just blown up, is the All-Star Game. The American League wins. Josh Hader comes in, gives up the bomb to Segura. But then feeling as bad as he did about giving up the bomb to Segura after that, then is hit after the game with tweets that he sent out when he was 17. And they have now come back to haunt him. And you know, it's something that everybody's talking about. I'm driving in today. They're talking about it nationally. I'm listening on the MLB Network, and they're talking about it. I'm listening to Chicago radio. They're talking about it. They're talking about it in the state of Wisconsin. It is what it is. There's a couple of things here that you need to understand. First and foremost, I understand the whole I was 17 thing. Okay, I really do. I get it. But the bottom line is, how long have we been telling people what you put out there, it's out there? I don't care if you're 17 or 7 or 70. Once you hit enter, it's out there. There's nothing you can do about it. And at some point, some way, shape, or form, it's going to come back to haunt you. And his words have. During the All-Star game last night, some racist and anti-gay tweets that Hader had sent when he was a teenager surfaced. And Pharrell on a Bench last night did about an hour's worth of it on the show. I was listening then. I know that Major League Baseball is now looking into this, that Major League Baseball said they will not have a comment last night, but they're going to make comments today. The tweets were going viral. Now, there's one out there that somebody had sent me this morning and said, can you believe this? And it's bad. But from what I understand, it's a 2016 tweet, and it is Photoshopped. So for those that are pointing to that one, saying, see, it still holds true. I from what I understand, that one has been Photoshopped. Somebody trying to kind of throw fuel on the fire, so to speak. But it's it's not good. And now, granted, they didn't have anything to do with the tweets other than the fact that they didn't catch it. But come on, you're a Major League Baseball team. You're a Major League Baseball team, and you've got people just for social media. Now, usually it's to put out tremendous stories about guys like Jesus Aguilar and get him elected to the All-Star game. But you have got to know what your people are saying and what they've said. You have got to know. I mean, now, again, I'm not blaming the Brewers for any of this because they didn't tweet it. They didn't do anything. But, man, oh, man, you have got to pay attention to what your people put out there. It just, you know, you just do. You've got to be more cognizant of this stuff. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. This is not good. This is not good. The Brewers obviously had a bad week. They lose games. They've got a 6-game losing streak. They had a pretty good representation of people in the All-Star game. But then this comes out, and it casts a pall over everything that's been accomplished thus far. And now, here's the other aspect of this. It's going to go one of two ways. It's either going to go in the direction of, you know, Josh Hader coming back into the clubhouse as Los Angeles comes to town, and his teammates lining up to say, look, you're a different guy. That's not the guy that we know. And we got you. As Lorenzo Cain tried to do last night. Tried to kind of put out the fire a little bit. And if that's the case, something like this can bring a clubhouse together, bond you together. Everybody's going to look in the mirror because everybody knows, you know, nobody's perfect. And it can then propel them. Or it can then make things awkward, uncomfortable, unsettling. It transfers to play on the field in some way, shape, or form, or this team just never gets back to what they were going back to the month of May. The season continues to kind of just slowly trickle away, and then it's going to be looked at as a very divisive moment. One of two things. I guarantee it's going to go in one of two directions. So it's either going to be the bonding moment that somebody needed, so to speak, to bring this group together, or it's going to be something that splinters the group apart and watches this season get frittered away. Regardless, though, this is a significant moment in this season for the Milwaukee Brewers. And a significant moment, teaching moment, hopefully you, if you're a parent out there, hopefully you as well. Because there's a lot of things we've talked about, and one is don't press send. Don't press send. 855-830-8648. Now, the other side of this, when you talk about the racist tweets and the homophobic tweets, I don't care if you're 17. I'm a different person from when I was 24 to 32 to 45 to 52. I'm not 52 yet, but regardless. You're a vastly different person. You grow and you change and your attitude changes and things in your life can dictate things that change your mind about a lot of stuff, okay? So you're not the same person you were when you were 17. If you could go back and grab yourself at 17, you would say, don't do this. So do I believe that Josh Hader can be a different person? Absolutely. I know people that have. Okay, I know people that, quote, were, quote, old school that aren't anymore. Okay, when it comes to race relations, we'll say. However, once it's out there, it's out there. You are now labeled. You will wear the scarlet letter pretty much for the remainder of your life. So if you are a parent and you don't, for whatever reason, because of your dumbass blindness or whatever it is you want to call it, you talk to your kids, you tell your kids, you check up on your kids, and you say, what are you doing? Where are you doing it? How are you doing it? What are you saying? I want to see it. Don't turn a blind eye, because your kid can go on to be doing wonderfully great things, just like Josh Hader, and suddenly something stupid from their past comes back to haunt them. And for those that say, hey, look, you know, I can't forgive it. If it was said by me or said by somebody else, it'd be held against us. You're right. You're right. You know, Josh Hader being a successful pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers certainly makes him a sympathetic figure, because a lot of Brewers fans want to see him do well. But outside looking in, man, the rest of the world's looking at this team going, you had Ryan Braun, who was a cheater. You've got now a racist in your clubhouse. You know, I mean, it's a bad look. Perception becomes reality in many people's eyes. It's a bad look. You certainly didn't need it. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's go to William listening to us in West Dallas. William, what's going on, man? What are you thinking?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. I got a couple points. Number one, when I heard about this, it just reminds me of the whole John Rocker situation from, what, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to support the Brewers, but, you know, Josh has nobody to blame but himself. And, unfortunately, in the world we live in today, this is just going to cast a dark shadow on the team. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers released him just to get away from it. It's just a sad reality. And I think the whole situation is terrible. But in a nutshell, he's got no one to blame but himself.
Appreciate the phone call. You're right. No one to blame but himself. I would be shocked if they let him go. Quite honestly, I would be shocked. Not because he's a valuable pitcher, but just because Mark Attanasio has proven that if you are contrite, and obviously if he likes you, that they're going to keep you around. Josh Hader came off the mound, into the clubhouse, the postgame presser, and owned it. You know, he said, yeah. He said, look, I'm, you know, it was something stupid I did when I was 17. He said, there's no excuse for what was said. I'm deeply sorry for what I've said and what's been going on. That doesn't reflect any of my beliefs now. And one of the things was he said something about how his beliefs had not changed. And people have latched onto that as if he's still that same guy. I think sometimes, and again, I'm not condoning it. I'm not making an excuse for it. But we've all said something to shock our friends or to be cool. And maybe in this particular case, that might be it. I don't know. But when he said my beliefs have not changed, I think that's kind of what he was alluding to. I don't want to put words in his mouth because he is going to have to sit in front of a camera, sit in front of a microphone again and explain himself. And I'm sure by that point in time, he is going to be pretty much, you know, coached up. But, you know, when you use the N-word and talk about white power, with the emoji of a closed fist, and then you have a tweet that says, I hate gay people. You know, that's very hard to explain. There's no way to just say, well, you know, I was just young and dumb. And no, come on. You know, now he may come out and, you know, you've got a Lorenzo Cain defending him, obviously a black player. So he's defending him. He's saying, hey, look, you know, you're dumb, 17, wasn't the best of things to do. Here you go. But, you know, it's what the way the players inside that clubhouse are going to defend him on what he's done inside that clubhouse. Is he in that family or is he a guy that has kind of stayed away? Is he a guy that segregated himself from others? Is he a guy that segregated himself only, say, towards white players? Well, then you're going to have yourself a real schism in the clubhouse. And then going back to the caller's point that you may need to get rid of him. Well, maybe in that particular case you might, because if you have that issue looming large in your clubhouse, it almost looks as if as an organization you condone that. And that would be detrimental. But if the organization comes out and defends him, and if other players come out and defend him, then no, I think then it was young, dumb tweets from a 17-year-old. And look, he may still believe that behind closed doors. There's a lot of things that are said by a lot of people, black, white, whatever, behind closed doors that you would never say in public. Not condoning it. Not right. But that's behind closed doors. But what you do in the workplace, what you do in public, what you do when you're in the public eye, that's on you. That's on you. And you put it out there for all the public to see. You may have believed it then, but you couldn't have been any more of a dumbass for hitting enter. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Person is what it is. I know Hader. You know, he's a great guy. I know he's a great teammate. So, like I say, I'm fine. You know, everybody will be okay. We'll move on from this for sure.
Lorenzo Cain doing the best he can to try to put a nothing to see here face on this. Nationally, it's everywhere. Getting calls from all over the country. Different radio stations want to talk. What kind of guy is Josh Hader? I got to tell you, never saw this coming. Never saw anything like this. One of the nicest, most candid guys there is. We were out in spring training this year. I'm walking through the clubhouse, and he comes over and reintroduces himself to me and said, you know, hey, I'm Josh Hader. If, you know, if you ever want to talk, let me know. You know, just very, very good guy. We had a really good conversation. Never saw anything like this, unfortunately. Not that I was really looking for it, to be honest with you. But for this to get out and for this to hit him, I appreciate the fact that he sat in front of the microphones and talked about it. Now, we're going to hear that coming up here in just a second. But basically, right after he gets off the mound, the game ends. Josh Hader goes to his locker, and he, at this point, has now been made aware that, oh, by the way, some of the things you said when you were young that you tweeted out have made their way into the mainstream. They've been discovered, and you are now the target. And so this was the tete-a-tete between him and the media last night. It's kind of hard to hear, so you're going to have to turn up your radios. But this was the tete-a-tete between him and the media last night answering questions about his tweets.
You know, something that happened, I was 17 years old, and as a child I was immature, and I obviously said some of the things that were inexcusable. That doesn't reflect on who I am as a person today, and, that's just what it is.
Does it reflect your beliefs, Josh?
No, not at all.
How did they live this long? How did they stay there this long?
I mean, no deletes, obviously, when you're a kid, you just tweet what's on your mind, and that's what's on.
How did you find out that this was out there?
Just came in, and my phone was blown up.
How did you respond to that?
You can't. There's no excuse for what was said, and I'm deeply sorry for what I've said, and what's been going on. And like I said, it doesn't reflect any of my beliefs going on now.
What has changed in your beliefs between now, or then and now? Nothing's changed?
There's nothing that I've
Josh, would you feel a need to address your teammates about this and explain to them?
Yeah, for sure. It's something that they shouldn't be involved in, being 17 years old, you make stupid decisions and mistakes.
What do you think happens next, Josh? Are you worried about penalties, suspension? Do you have any sense of what comes next?
I just live up to, what happened, and just move on from it. I've said no mistakes.
Are you worried that you might get suspended for this?
I'm ready for any consequences that happened for, what happened 7 years ago.
Have you spoken to your family out there, and what did they say?
No, I have not.
Is that going to be a difficult conversation?
Like I said before, I was young, immature, and stupid. No excuses for what was said or what happened.
Do you remember sending any of these tweets?
Not vividly. No.
But no one told you about it. You saw it on your phone. It was going on, or somebody grabbed you and said, "Hey, you need to figure out what happened."
Yeah, it was kind of like I got done the game and they said that I need to kind of know what's going on.
What was kind of the context in which those statements were made? Like, was it intended to be used?
I'm sure there's some lyrics, some rap lyrics being tweeted. I really don't know exactly what's all out there.
Did you have any knowledge of it before you actually went out in the game tonight?
No.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
So there you go. That is the back and forth with Josh Hader. He owned it. Said he was stupid. It's hard to, if he did it when he was 13 or 14, that's one thing. You're 17 years old. You're getting ready to graduate high school soon and move on to a Major League Baseball career. And that's what comes out. It's hard to just walk away from it and just say, well, I was young and dumb. I was glad he didn't say, hey, my Twitter account was hacked, because that's old news. But not a good scene last night for Josh Hader. And the other side of the coin was his family was in attendance in the game last night, and they're wearing Josh Hader jerseys. They actually had to be escorted out and had their jerseys changed for fear of some type of retribution. As this started to break and people, as we get notified via social media on our phones now, this started to break last night. As a matter of fact, I saw it come across my news feed on my phone. And then our buddy Drew Burgoyne from CBS 58, he instant messaged me on Twitter and said, have you seen this? And I said, yeah, I just got done taking a listen or taking a read. And then he was listening to Pharrell on the Bench last night. He said, you're listening to this? And I turned over and I was listening to Pharrell. And this went like wildfire went like wildfire last night. And this is, you know, this is just, I don't care what you say. It's just not good. I mean, you can make all the excuses you want. You know, it's just not a good scene. Vern tweets us at @Bill_Michael says almost all teenagers make stupid comments with their friends thinking it makes them look cooler. With as big as social media is now, most 17-year-olds realize that their tweets can be seen by millions of people. But in 2011, it wasn't as well known or understood. Well, that's true, but he still hit send. How long have we been telling people? I've been doing this job in this particular situation that I'm in on the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network now for 7 years. And I didn't just all of a sudden learn 7 years ago, don't hit send. Okay, I've been taught that pretty much since the advent of social media, pretty much since AOL dial-up was around. If you don't want it out there, don't hit send. You can't be this stupid. 855-830-8648. Real quick, let's go to Lance on the west side. Lance, welcome to the program. Bill Michael Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for having me. Sorry about that. I'm walking out of a grocery store right now.
Sure.
But, I guess we all have been there where we've done and said something stupid and regretted it later, but yet, in the overall picture, if that's the worst thing that happens today in this society where we have 10 times worse things happening and people are trying to make excuses for it, but think about it. If that's there's a lot of people out there that are blunt and brutally honest. A lot of people will never come out and say what they feel. He did it. Maybe it was by mistake. Maybe it wasn't, but it happened. So we do have to move on from it because, hey, growing up, you do get into the wrong groups, the wrong crowds, the wrong fraternity, wrong circle of friends, whatever. But yet, let's think about it, though. Everybody wants equality these days. Everybody's screaming for that. But yet, if you think about it, there's Black History Month, mm-hmm. Black Entertainment TV.
Correct.
You know, what would happen if we had white entertainment TV or white, white history
right.
months?
Well, those, I appreciate the phone call. Those became popular because there wasn't, because of the dominance of, say, I don't want to say the white race in that particular case because it's just not a proper term to use, but because there wasn't enough outlets for African Americans to kind of show their wares, so to speak. So those were created. You know, we being white people didn't have to create a white entertainment network because everywhere you turn, there was white entertainers. So that's why those networks, those certain things were created, and there is a history to that. And when you talk about Black History Month, it really isn't, the way I look at it, it's not for those that are African Americans. It's for us to learn and understand and to grow in knowing kind of who our neighbors are, you know? I mean, because we're supposed to learn and understand it. They already know who they are. They don't need to learn anymore. You know what I mean? We need to learn and understand it. Grow a little bit. Expand your mind a little bit. Understand the circumstances as this country was built and what it was built upon. And that's kind of where some of that stuff comes from. Let's do this. We're going to kind of, we'll still stay with baseball. We're going to take an NL Central look around today as well. Mo Egger from ESPN Radio 1530 in Cincinnati is going to be joining us. If you're there, stay on hold because we're going to try to get to you, I promise. This is going to be something that's going to pretty much go all day. But we're going to talk with Mo Egger. And the Reds have a pretty solid record ever since they changed managers, fired Brian Price and brought in Riggleman. And they've been a team that can be a thorn in many people's sides. So we'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show continues. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. That's where they believe in better. Don't forget the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. Get that pepperoni melt. The Bill Michaels extra mayo, extra cheese. on that Italian bread, side of Radio Joe Cheese Curds, you are in. Face first like you're going to the electric chair later that night. That's the way to go. That is our friends from Cousins. Go to CousinsSubs.com or download the app on any of your mobile devices. Remember, it's the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. I had written this the other day, and the Cincinnati Reds, in case you didn't know, since they fired their manager, Brian Price, they've been playing some pretty good baseball. Riggleman takes over. Really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, since May 29th, and if you didn't read the article, but since May 29th, the Cincinnati Reds are 24-17. They've got a pretty solid record. The Brewers have been kind of foundering a little bit at 20-23. The Cubs are 27-16. But the Reds have been playing some winning baseball, and they are going to be a thorn in the side of many teams before it's all said and done. From ESPN Radio 1530 in Cincinnati, Mo Egger, our buddy, now joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mo, what's been the turnaround in Cincinnati for this team?
I think it's been two things. I think, number one, the starting pitching has been better. For a number of years, as they dismantled and tried to rebuild the team, you know, they trade away Johnny Cueto, they trade away Mike Leake. And I think until they got the guys that they think can kind of be the nucleus of the rotation moving forward, they were just kind of plugging in dudes. You know, Scott Feldman was their opening day starter last year. They brought back Bronson Arroyo. They were, you know, bringing guys up who really didn't have much of a big league future. And now what they've gotten is, I think, a trio of guys that they really anticipate being a part of their rotation moving forward: Sal Romano, Tyler Malley, and Luis Castillo. Those guys are finally going a little bit deeper into games. They've gotten Anthony DeSclafani back healthy. And the Matt Harvey acquisition, you know, they got him with the idea of trading him, and I would say there's a 99% chance they do, but he's kind of revived his career by pitching really well here. So I think that's number one. And the other thing, and I don't think people talk about this enough, is they're healthy. When they got off to the start that they got off to, 3-18, offensively, we thought this team was going to be better than it showed in the first 3 weeks. And we knew eventually they would hit. That's happened. But I think more than anything, compared to the last couple of years, I think they've shown that health matters. You know, if you go back to 2014, Joey Votto misses 100 games. They had more games missed than any team in the National League Central, I believe, in 2015. They have finally gotten a lineup together that's intact and healthy and really has very few holes in it. They have guys at the top of the order who are getting on base. They have a number of guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark, and obviously getting all-star caliber seasons from Eugenio Suarez and former Brewer Scooter Gennett. It's really kind of turned into a pretty well-rounded club. Now, obviously, they got up to such a slow start that for this season, it really doesn't mean all that much, but suddenly the trajectory for this club is pointed upward, and there's some building excitement here.
I was going to say, when you bring up Scooter Gennett, he has stated over and over again he wants to stay in Cincinnati. What is the long-term situation for him?
I believe that he's not going to be traded. First of all, he's under team control for one more year. I think they look at it from a couple of different angles. One being, I think they view him as kind of central to this team's improved chemistry. For whatever amount of value you want to attach to that, I think they view him as one of those guys in the clubhouse that has really kind of changed the tone of the team and the clubhouse itself. Number two, I just don't really think they're going to be able to get that much for him. As good a year as he's had and as good as he's been since coming to Cincinnati, I kind of believe the market for him really isn't there. There's not a lot of teams that need a second baseman. He could obviously play a number of positions, but he's kind of, you know, found a home at second base. He's going to make a lot more money next year because he has one more year of arbitration. And I just gather the sense that around the league, the belief is that he's not going to be as good moving forward as he's been over the last year and a half. I think they view him being on the team next year as giving them a better chance to maybe make a push toward contention next season, as opposed to plugging someone else in at second base. And he's also a fan favorite, and I'm not really sure that should factor into the thinking, but Dick Williams, the president of baseball operations, said last week, we want to expand the payroll next year. For that to happen, though, they're going to have to put more butts in seats here in the second half of the season. Attendance is down from last year, 16%. I think they view keeping Scooter as something that will engender enough goodwill to maybe get people to come to the ballpark here in the second half of the year. And then finally, I think they view him as someone they can sign, not for the next 5 or 6 years, but with the falling cost of free agents, his willingness to stay here, I think they feel like they can get something done that keeps him here beyond next season for maybe 3 years at something that economically is pretty responsible. And so I think he's going to be here. It then begs a series of questions. All right, who goes? Because they have a number of guys they could trade at the deadline. Their top prospect, Nick Senzel, got a lot of time at second base. If Scooter's going to stay, he's going to play second base. What do you do with Nick Senzel? Do you move him to the outfield? Do you trade him in an effort to get that number one starter they need? They have a lot of different directions they can go in, but I believe that come August 1st, Scooter Gennett will still be on this team.
Then Riggleman at the end of the season, I mean, depending on which way the season goes, I mean, there's a lot of talk about him getting offers from other teams. Do the Reds keep him or do they move in another direction?
I think he's got a shot at coming back. I think it's going to be interesting. You know, there's a lot of talk about taking the interim tag off. I think a lot of that is media created and fan created, and understandably so, because when a team plays well with the interim guy, you know, it's natural to wonder if it makes sense to bring him back. But I think they really want to go through a thorough search. I really think, you know, when they hired Brian Price in 2013, the search consisted of making sure they had Brian Price's updated contact info. You know, they really didn't do a comprehensive search for Dusty Baker's replacement. I think this is an important hire for them. I think, you know, when they hired Brian Price, they knew they weren't going to be good for a long time. I think they're hoping that the next manager is the guy that kind of takes this team to the next step, which is back to postseason contention, maybe eventually back to the postseason. And when you really haven't done a managerial search in a decade, I think it behooves you to do something exhaustive and comprehensive. And, you know, my stance on the whole thing has been, if at the end of that process you decide Jim Riggleman's the guy, then that's okay. But I don't see the need to remove the interim tag now. I'm not really sure what the rush is. I'm not sure what the downside is to doing a search. And if the St. Louis Cardinals want to hire Jim Riggleman, well, I think the Reds are in a good enough place with where they're headed and with what their nucleus is that they're going to be able to survive that. There's some things they can't survive. Losing Jim Riggleman, I think, is one of them. But it's going to be interesting. If the team continues to play well, does management revisit this? Does the owner step in and say, look, I want Jim Riggleman? It's going to be interesting, but he's done a very good job, and there's certainly a growing sentiment that, you know, he should be the guy next year. I, at the end of the day, think they're going to go through a search at the end of the season, and maybe at the end of that, Jim still has a chance to be the guy.
We had Marty Brenneman on the show about a month ago, maybe a little bit less, and it's when the Reds were taking on the Brewers, and I'd asked Marty, I said, what is the direction of this club? And Marty said, even though they're playing good baseball, if upper management believes that this is the team now that they believe they had, they're fooling themselves, because he said he doesn't see the amount of talent as they maybe claim that they have. So let me ask you this, how far away are they from, say, this tearing down or this rebuild or what have you, to being complete? And in addition to that, should they be dramatic sellers as we continue to approach the trade deadline?
Well, they only have one guy who can be a free agent at the end of this year, and that's Harvey. They have a number of guys who are, you know, going to get hefty pay raises next year. Adam Duvall, Billy Hamilton, Scooter Gennett. They have a little bit of a surplus of outfielders, and they have a little bit of surplus of infielders. I think for them to take a significant leap forward, what they need is a bona fide number one hammer at the front of that rotation. And I think that's the most difficult hurdle to clear. You know, I've made this point a couple of times. You know, number one, the Reds have, I think, over the last 40, 43 years, developed two true number one starters, Mariano Soto and Johnny Cueto. That's it. It illustrates how hard it is to develop. Now, maybe they have that guy in the organization now. You know, Hunter Green, who pitched in the Futures game, is probably going to be that guy, but, you know, not for another 3 or 4 years. Do they have that guy on staff now in time to get really good next year? I think that's debatable. So then it's free agency. Well, if you look at the list of free agents starting pitchers for next year, pretty uninspiring list, and a list of guys that's going to cost a lot of money. So then it's a trade. And I've made this point a number of times. The last time the Reds traded for what they thought was going to be a number one starting pitcher was when they acquired Matt Latos from the Padres in 2012. Now, Matt Latos has gone on to be kind of a punchline, but for 2 years, he helped anchor playoff rotations here. To get him, the Reds had to send to the Padres three future All-Stars and Edinson Volquez, who helped the Royals win the World Series in 2015. That's a very hefty price, and so I think sometimes we're a little bit too overly simplistic in talking about the core the Reds have and going, you know what, they're a number one starter away. They are, but how do you get that number one starter? And are you willing to give up what it's going to cost? And do you have a package of players that other teams would want in exchange for a number one? I think that's the biggest challenge for this team. I don't think they can meet it now. I'm not sure they can meet it this offseason. So I tend to think they're a little ways away, but I am optimistic about the direction they're going in. They kind of have a core, and they've got some pretty interesting potential trade chips. Raisel Iglesias, their closer, is under team control for three more years. You can trade Billy Hamilton. You can trade Adam Duvall. I think, though, the most interesting scenarios involve Nick Senzel, their first-round draft choice from 2016, fifth overall, and Robert Stevenson, who at one time was considered their top pitching prospect, who I think they've soured on just a little bit. If they're willing to move those two guys, they can make some progress via trade. I'm just not sure they're willing to do either.
Real quick, I'm going to give you about 20 seconds to give me your thought. Outside looking in, the tweets came to light last night for Brewers reliever Josh Hader. And, you know, he says, look, I was 17 and what have you. He apologized, kind of owned it. But just outside perspective looking in about 20 seconds, give me your thought.
I'm not sure what he's supposed to do now. It's obviously unfortunate, and those are horrible tweets. But, what's the next bill that comes due for him? He makes the apology. He's going to have to deal with his teammates. What do we want to do now? I understand, the Twitter outrage cycle sort of lasts 24 hours. Does he wait this out until we move on to something else? Like, what's the next pound of flesh that we want from Josh Hader? Are they supposed to suspend him for tweets he sent when he was 17 years
right.
old? Is he supposed to quit? Are the Brewers supposed to cut him? Like, what do we do now? That's what I can't figure out. If you're still mad about it, fine. He made the apology. He's going to have to deal with his teammates. Then what? What's going to make everybody happy? And the answer is probably nothing. So I don't know where we go with this next.
Great stuff, Mo, as always, buddy. I'll see you soon. Take care of yourself. Take care of the wife and the new baby and everything, and you have a great time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, come visit us. See you, Bill.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. There's Mo Egger from Cincinnati, our friend down there, ESPN Radio 1530, giving us some perspective. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Coming up after the top of the hour, Les Grovstein from 670 The Score in Chicago. We're going to get his perspective. Also, we'll get his thoughts on the Cubs. Is the Cubs have, well, they've gone on a bit of a winning brigade. 27-16 since May 29th to get into the All-Star break. They have taken over the top spot in the National League Central. We'll pick the grabber's mind before it's all said and done. So that's coming up after the top of the hour. Jim Colony from 93.7 A Fan in Pittsburgh, he's going to be joining us. And then we're going to get the national perspective on all of this from Seth Everett, our National Baseball Insider. He is going to be here as well. We will talk to him about the comments that were said by Josh Hader, what he feels now needs to be done. Mo Egger put it very succinct. People are going to get their pound of flesh. He has apologized. He's going to meet with the media again. You know he will. He'll have an open presser, and you kind of go from there. Then what? Then what has to happen? I would be surprised if he got suspended by Major League Baseball for something that he did when he was 17, when he wasn't a Major League Baseball player. I would be somewhat shocked if they suspended him for that. Now, maybe they end up sending him to a sensitivity training or something to that extent, but for those that are saying he needs to be suspended for, two games, five games, 10 games, whatever, I would be shocked if something like that happened, to be quite honest with you. So we'll talk more about this coming up after the top of the hour. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Don't forget, coming up tonight at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion stage, it is back again Wednesday night live. It's up, it's running, it's good to go, so make sure you get out there and support them tonight. Get yourself some music under the stars, a couple of beverages, enjoy yourself, and it's free admission, by the way. And if you bring a car, it's $6 to park it. If you bring a motorcycle, it is absolutely free. And if it's free, it's for me. You know that. So I think it's pretty much the thinking of everybody that's listening to the program at this point. But we'll talk more about this coming up after the top of the hour. We'll get the Cubs side of things as the Cubs now sit atop the National League Central. And are they starting to fire on all cylinders? Is this team going to be for real? They still have some pitching issues. They still have Yu Darvish. They still have Chapman that is not giving them what they thought they would get. So we'll find out where their holes are from Les Grobstein in the Score, and we'll also get his perspective as just south of the border as to what you know, what the reaction is to Josh Hader's comments, and you know what he thinks will or should be done. And we'll continue our spin around the National League Central coming up after the top of the hour. We'll continue to take your phone calls as well. KJ and Philip and everybody, we're going to get to you, I promise. There's a lot of people on hold hanging out for this. Everybody's got to say. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show right after this.
The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.